questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. When you see what could be that isn't yet, as Jonathan now does, that can be a change in itself. You're now in a different place at a fork in the road. Where do you go from here? Do you stay on the path you know, the one that promises more of the same? Even when less than ideal, there may be some comfort in that. Or do you step off that well-trodden path into unfamiliar territory, knowing that the path to your vision doesn't yet exist and will have to be cleared by you? This episode questions whether Jonathan is willing to do what it takes to ignite his meaningful change. Jonathan, we are getting close to the end of the Illuminate phase. Several more cards to go. Please read the next one.
Card 13. Are you willing to work with focused attention to realize this change? Do you have the will to act until this change is fully realized? Will you continue no matter what? Yes, yes. The way I want to say this is that I will work. I'll work until I'm dead on this, which sounds a bit crazy as I say that. But I don't think it is crazy. We've talked a few times about the real deep importance of taking a decision and committing yourself fully to something where you let go of everything else, you reject everything else, you accept fully that all the other things you could do, you're not going to do. You can describe that as a sacrifice, but you can see it as a liberation as well. I also talked about my friend Richard, the poet, who I've always admired for making this choice. So if we go back to the card, I look at Richard, my friend, the poet, and he has worked with focused attention to become a poet, and that's the change. Was he realizing a change? Certainly a change within him, you know, to become a poet, to have the courage, the desire, and then the courage to become a poet. Focused attention, absolutely. Focused attention over 30 years, 40 years. And I remember when I first spoke about him, that I had this strange image of this line between him and his death. I've not asked him about that, whether he accepts that. I'm imposing it on him. But it's not just him, it's other people I see who have made that commitment, where it's almost as if they are now agreeing to write their own gravestone, their own epitaph, which doesn't sound awful, but it isn't. It isn't. There's a commitment there and a letting go of everything else that doesn't matter. So again, I'm drawn to the idea of liberation here. And the three of us, I think this was before you were here, Jean. So I think the three of us, Marianne, Catherine and I, we were joking about death.
As one does.
As
one always does.
And we said, are you ready to die? Almost as if we're saying, you know, did you sleep well? Are you ready to die? And you have to be ready to die. You have to be ready to die for your ideals. You have to be ready to die for your family. Um, you have to be ready to die so that when you do die, you feel that you've used your time here and done everything you could. There are lots of reasons why you've got to be ready to die. So that this is why I'm saying, are you willing to work with focused attention to realize this change? Yeah, I want to do this until I die. And that's not only because I believe in the vision that I've tried to articulate. It's also this sense of liberation and letting go of everything else. And I've scribbled down here. Yeah, I mean, if that wasn't crazy enough, how about this? Without thinking about it, I'm going to borrow a bit of language from the world of religion. Yeah, not for the first time, but there's this idea of having to save yourself. And I know that I'm sounding really, really, really crazy as I say this, but I have a deep desire to save myself. Not because I think I'm going to have to stand in front of St. Peter and justify myself, or that I fear the prod of the devil's trident in my ass.
Words.
Yeah, that's not why I'm trying to save myself. Don't we want to be at peace with ourselves? I mean, we say, you know, we want to be able to look ourselves in the mirror. Isn't there something there? There's a deep truth in that. I do.
So just to clarify, that once before you die you want that feeling, or is it a daily thing?
Of saving myself.
And of feeling good about yourself, feeling like you are true.
True, feeling true to yourself. I think it has to be, I would like to think that once you've articulated the vision, launched it, and it's out there, that it's changed everything, and that it's put you on that road to your death irrevocably, and that you're comfortable with that. Doesn't mean everything's finished. It doesn't mean that there won't be moments of doubt. And the vision doesn't give certainty. You hold a truth and a certainty about it, but the world around you continues to be unpredictable. We're not denying that. But within you carry this. The more I think about it, I love this idea that's it. Now I'm on the road to my death. Yeah, now I'm on the road to my death. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds absolutely crazy, but I think that's what I'm looking for. I really do.
Sounds very elegant. Very elegant. Very merciful.
Yeah. Maybe. Yes. Yeah. Because it's not damning. It's not self-damning. No. There is mercy in there.
One can even argue that before that point comes where you enter that final road, you are perpetually tormented. What am I doing? Am I doing it right? Am I doing the thing?
Am I on the right road?
Am I going to have enough
time
to do it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I scribbled down intolerance again. Yes. This word that keeps coming back again and again and again. The intolerance. That it conveys. Finally becoming intolerant toward yourself. Huh? Finally becoming intolerant toward yourself, so that you can save yourself by living your truth.
So I have a question there.
Yeah.
How do you suppose the people in your life would take it if suddenly you were that unequivocally intolerant of yourself and at more peace than you've ever shown them?
Yeah. I can see my mum picking up the phone now.
Yeah.
But feeling very worried.
Right? Isn't that funny? And I've experienced this so many times. Why are they worrying? I'm in the best place I've ever been. Yeah, why are they so concerned?
This is it, isn't it? Absolutely. This is all about liberation. Mm-hmm. Here.
Because
it's freedom.
They know
here.
So many versions of you. Mm. And when you claim one version, which is your true version of who you are, you've curated that. And as we've said, when you make that decision, you cut off all the others. They're gone, but they're not gone for them.
They're not
They've
gone
known
for
you
them.
As that and that and that and that and that.
So relatability plummets.
Plummets, yeah.
Self-judgment spikes.
And you can get, but now you're an extreme version of who you were.
I don't like this
you're
part of you.
You're intransigent. Yeah. You're adamant. You are, I've heard a lot of those.
So difficult to talk to.
So difficult.
Where's all
because
the
how can you be so certain?
Yeah.
How can you be so certain?
How do you know?
Yeah.
Just a little bit of preparation there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't want to scare you off.
No, thank you. No.
As
helped.
You say this, Jonathan, you know what first I became so aware of? An earlier conversation, several, in which you mentioned in different ways that it was time for you to move on. You were past your due date in terms of what you were doing. You had to make room for new. So how do you feel now?
That sense is still there. I'm holding that. That hasn't gone away. There's the great recent novel, contemporary novel of Julian Barnes, The Sense of an Ending. You know, it's the sense of various endings all coming at the same time. Yeah, that can happen easily when you reach a certain point in life and where you also look out into the world and you feel that the world is joining you in that, in its aging. And I think I said at the time, every 53-year-old throughout history must have felt the same thing, that their own beginnings of a sense of decline was somehow in tune with the way of the world. There's nothing new here. So that feeling is still there. I'm sure it will be for a while. But what I'm beginning to see and feel here is that a way of finding rebirth and regeneration. You know, we've talked about that. Where you're not becoming somebody else. You're not trying to be younger. You're not trying to recover your youth. These are all paths to destruction of one sort or another, or just a waste of time.
You're not going to color your hair and go out and buy a Porsche.
No. So it's none of those things. It's a way to find fuel, new fuel, to take you on. Onwards to the next, the new ground. I want to use the language that you've introduced to me, the new ground, yeah? The new ground that's on the other side. So you're not younger, but you are...
More alive.
Yeah.
Revitalized.
You said it, yeah. Yeah, more alive, mm-hmm. more alive, more hopeful, not because things in the world outside have suddenly got better.
Mm-hmm. That's important to say.
But more hopeful within yourself. And that, we had a great conversation about getting to action in moments of anxiety, yeah? In moments of doubt and anxiety, getting towards action, acting. There's something here where when we step onto that path towards our own death, because we know it's the right path, yeah? Finally, we found it. It doesn't guarantee anything about the future, doesn't bring certainty, but we know it's the right path. And so we know that we are now on the right path, that brings with it, that action comes from that. So we're letting, if the vision was saying today we break with the past. Today we stand on new ground and break with the past. What does that mean for the individual? Today I step onto the path that is the right one for me. I know that. and I forgo the other paths.
Because you know which path to take.
Yes. Yes. And I on this day, I perhaps lose the fear forever that I might choose the wrong path. Yeah? Today I lose the fear that one day I might choose the wrong path.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And again, this is not about certainty. We're not winning. You can't win certainty. Mm-hmm. I look at myself this year in moments of anxiety. I can see myself thinking, oh, if this happens, then there will be certainty. If this happens, these potential problems will go away. You just can't do that.
It's the opposite of how it's meant to be done.
Right. This is saying, I will now act.
Yes.
I will now act, and I will step onto this path. And again, it doesn't mean there won't be difficult choices. There will be other forks in the road. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we're talking about the path of the vision. Uh-huh. So the main path, let's call it the main path. Mm-hmm. That you and you're at peace. You're at peace with the choice that you've made on the path, but that has also come from a harder edge of intolerance. You know, enough. Mm-hmm. Enough now. And it's not because it's therapy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said to me,
no.
You said to me, Mariana, long before we started doing this, this is not therapy. And it's not. It's not. It's fundamentally different. It's not therapy. But
it's conversation, isn't it?
It's conversation. And the power of conversation, mm-hmm. again
in
and again.
Surfacing what is true for you.
Yes, yes, exactly.
And along the path of these questions, you have surfaced so much, Jonathan, so bravely, I will say, so openly and honestly. And now you've pulled it together. That's pretty amazing.
I'm not saved yet, but I have a glimpse. I have a glimpse of where it might lie.
And think of how you described hope in your own scenario, hopeful, for example, and feeling on the right path. And you are in all of that. You are modeling for others what it is, what it feels like. And the digging it took to get there. But I want to pick up on something you said, because it may sound simple, but it's so profound. You're at peace with the choice you have made on the path, yes, but also this one really resonated for me, because I remember feeling it so acutely when I had when a Lumify emerged for me. And that was through the sacred contract work I had done with Catherine and Susan. So you just said, today I lose the fear that I'm taking the wrong path. Mm. What can emerge in a Lumify, in the Lumify game changer, can be congruent with what you've done, how you've lived so far. It can be entirely congruent, so it seems like the next sequence in that. It can be just a little bit similar. You know, for example, communication, you've done speech writing and novel writing, etc. Maybe what would emerge would be poetry. So a little simple, similar, still in the same field. But equally, you could have emerged with, given all that, given that shared background, something completely dissimilar, completely dissimilar, foreign to you, that is really a dramatic shift.
Jarring and even.
Jarring, shocking. Mm. And that's where people go to, oh my God, I've wasted all this time. Yes, thank heavens I'm on the right path. I know it, because it's all about you knowing it, not us telling you. And I will take issue with the new ground verbiage. That didn't come from me introducing or us introducing you to it. It came from you. You introduced yourself to it. All of this comes from you. We're just here to help you surface it. So then you've got the shock value. Then what do you do? Because if all your life you've made say, let's quantify it, 100 decisions over time that prevented you at some level from doing what has now emerged. Wow. And that's where grace comes in. Mm-hmm. And that's where one of the attributes of grace in playing the game. So in your case, what has surfaced for you is not dissimilar. You've been veering toward this path, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Yeah. And you came close, and then for whatever reason, you extricated the path.
Mm.
You talked about having been wounded, for example.
Yeah.
And yet, when you did leave the path, and I'm thinking of Brussels and the European Union and your work there, and you went to Copenhagen, what did you do? You stayed really, as it turns out, does it not, on the same path by writing the book Mother Europe?
Mm. Yes. It didn't feel like that.
But something was compelling you.
Yes. Yes.
Because it was true to you.
Yeah.
And to heed a call that is so compelling and yet doesn't feel in alignment with the path you've been walking thus far takes a leap of faith, a big leap. And you did it. Commendable evidence of courage, significant courage. And it can be, let's say, an excruciating process, deeply excruciating to write.
Because you've written so many books.
Right. And it is. And, it's funny because on one hand, when you write something personal or when you write something that is really reflective of your own journey, that can bring up things that can make for the excruciation. And then there are these other moments when you are writing words that flow from your fingertips that you haven't thought of yet, that you haven't heard in your mind yet, and that you read for the first time as they appear on your screen. And they are such representation of the essence of truth that you can't continue writing until you step away and decompress, because it's so profound and so life-changing. You did that in a leap of faith
throughout this Illumify Game Changer. That's what you've been doing.
Yeah. It certainly felt like a leap into the unknown. It was. I've never done anything like this before.
How would you know if you stepped on that final path? How do you know? You personally.
I think you would feel it. It wouldn't manifest itself as a change in your weekly routine. Because I was thinking I was going to add, partly to reassure my mum, that I'm still going to come home, I'm still going to go and watch Forest. And, I think this is not saying, the vision is the only thing I'm going to do between now and my death. No, we're not saying that.
Mm-hmm. You'll still hug your mom, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my friends and my football team. This is not about... Because there's a thing about how we use our time here, which is the mistake is to think we can become more efficient. If I organize my time better, we will become more efficient. No, that's missing the point. That's the wrong path. What you have to do is to say, and I would have said this before this experience with you, but I think the experience has confirmed it, which is you can't become more efficient by organizing your time better, because you'll just end up doing more.
Mm-hmm.
You create space to do more, and that's not what we're trying to do here. What you have to do is say to yourself, what really matters to me so that I spend my time on that? Again, it's focused attention.
Exactly.
Yeah? That's what it's about. It's not about doing more or less. It's about the attention, the attention that you focus mm-hmm. on the thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if it's a vision that you believe in, it's not about how you organize your week,
really
your
isn't.
Routine. You know, it's so in answer to your question, how do you know? You would just feel it. And as I said, not because doubt and anxiety would disappear forever, but you would know that you had made the choice, and you would lose this fear. We come back to this. Mm-hmm. Losing the fear that you may have chosen the wrong path.
Have you lost it?
I'm getting much closer. I'm getting much, much closer.
That's lovely.
Yeah. I'm getting much, much closer.
Okay. So this is a really beautiful, nuanced part of this journey. Not even the game changer, but life, mm-hmm. the journey of life and approaching mm-hmm. this final path. We tend to feel the exaggeration of the high of confirmation. We've found mm. our path. We tend to feel the intensity of the discomfort of not being on the path. This short runway between the two states is beautiful in itself and very seldom looked upon and examined. Can we take a moment? How does it feel to be in this part of the path?
Mm. It feels very good. It feels very, very good. You know, when I said a few moments ago that in the middle of these conversations, when we were losing ourselves, not because we'd lost attention, mm-hmm. but because we'd lost the noise. We'd lost the noise and the distraction. That's what the flow is about. That's what we mean when we lose ourselves, because because there is only the conversation that we're having, that one conversation that we're having. And as we said, it's in that brilliant, brilliant moment where, because there is only the conversation, we as separate individuals, separate beings, it's not that we disappear. We don't disappear. There are three voices. And with Jean, a fourth voice. So our voices are still here. So there is still individuality. But we have lost the noise. We've lost the distraction. But we've given ourselves to the conversation, and there is. That's where the anxiety and the fear disappears. There is no space for anxiety and fear in there. There's no space for it.
Mm.
It's gone. And again, does it mean you solved all the answers? No. But you are there, mm-hmm. you are there, in the pursuit, yeah, pursuing together.
The pursuit of truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And that takes me back to those conversations with my friends where I was saying, this is it. This is the only thing that matters. And this is how I'm answering your question, Catherine. How does it feel? It feels fantastic. It feels great. Because in that moment, you know it's the only thing that counts. Okay. Mm. So the question then is, right, how do you sustain that feeling
mm-hmm.
As you go into a vision, you take this new path and you take that vision and see it as something leading you towards your own death. Mm-hmm. You want to do it until you die.
Mm.
Because you've made that choice. That's a new question. You know, I'm opening up a new question here, which is how do you sustain that feeling? You can't, but what you can do is, this is how we learn as we go through life, isn't it? We say, okay, in those moments where I felt deeply, deeply happy mm-hmm. and at peace, where I've been in the flow,
mm-hmm.
where I felt that I'm in a deep communion with my family, with my friends, in this conversation. Yeah. What was happening there? because if that felt so good, I want to have that again and again. How do I recreate that? So that's how we make good habits. Yeah, we make good habits. And then for the vision, this is something I need to think about more deeply. I don't have the answers today, but writing, isn't it? It's back to writing. That's it. You keep writing the vision again with new words, because if it's a true vision, there won't only be one text. Go back to the political. You don't finish with the constitution, walk away and say, right, that's done, finished. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you keep
writing. Put it on the shelf.
Right, you keep writing and you keep writing. You keep writing. You know, every new novel is a new attempt to find the truth. We keep writing. So that's my first answer to myself. Mm-hmm. How do we sustain the energy, the joy, the fuel as we march onto the path that will take us towards our death, a vision which may take 10 years, 20 years, depends when you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You keep writing. Keep writing.
May I suggest an approach that works wonders to sustain?
Please.
Once you find that path, once you find that way, have a love affair with it.
Mm. Okay.
Nurture it.
Mm.
Be impassioned by it, with it.
Mm.
Allow it to embrace you.
Mm.
Delight in it.
Because you are on new ground.
Mm.
Let it infuriate you if that's the day that has to be the one that you get infuriated. And then come back to loving it.
Yes. And love is the look in the eyes, isn't it? We talked about envy right at the beginning of the conversation. The healthy aspect of envy, where there's a signal that you should be doing something because you see it in somebody else. And I love that look that you see in somebody's eyes, where you just know that they're doing something that is so right for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
beautiful,
deep,
point.
Deep pleasure. You can just tell it.
Remember when you spoke of joy and seeing someone in the state of joy of walking down the street? You can tell.
Yeah, and it's not momentary. It's not because they've just heard a funny joke or you know they're feeling good. They've just had a bar of chocolate.
It's a much more elevated state.
Yeah. I've often said to myself, I want that.
Mm-mm.
I want that. Mm. And it's a mix of joy, but poise as well. We've not used the word poise at all over the last 5 days. And I just now wanted to use, if only because it's a word that pops into my mind. I love the poise, the calm that these people have. Because here's the thing, I'm branching out a little bit now.
Right.
Yeah, I'm branching out beyond what we said here, because this is about how we sustain the vision over 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, until our death, yeah? Where do we get the energy from? Love affair, as you said, absolutely. Mm. But also, I so want to find that poise, that inner calm that I see in other people. Not because they're relaxed or chilled or it's not about their character. It's not that they've always been a calm, chilled person. It's something else. I really feel that they've discovered something. They found the thing. And it's I'm not thinking of people in the fine arts, the writers, or no, there is no
class category.
Exactly. It's anybody who's found that. You see it in the eyes. They know. Yeah, please, Maria.
Share with you the definition, because kind of telling.
Mm.
Origen 14:21.
Mm.
Significance.
We're back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And weight. To weigh the sense of steadiness, composure, right? And then if you look at some of the current versions or definitions of it. A state of being balanced in a stable equilibrium.
Mm.
Great coolness and composure under strain.
Mm.
As a verb, be motionless in suspension. Prepare oneself for something unpleasant or difficult, so to brace, to be poised for it.
That's
cause to be balanced or suspended, hold or carry in equilibrium. Balance being a synonym for a lot of that. Assuredness is another synonym.
Yeah, brilliant. Love it. Love all of
what
that.
What of all of that?
Oh, love all of that.
All of it?
All of it.
Yeah. Poise is not a word. Poise is not a word that is used often.
No. No. And it's, I just live, I love the idea that it's something that you attain, that it comes to you eventually. You have to work your way towards it, you know. What you just described there, Marianne, these are not characteristics of people who, lucky me, I was just born with a sense of composure. And no, it's on that road to character where you are able to, because if the path that you take towards the vision is still going to be full of difficult moments and difficult mm-hmm. choices and setbacks and, mm-hmm. and rain
mm-hmm.
And wind and more rain, then the question is, how do you withstand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you get through the really hard moments? And I think that's when the composure and the calm comes in, because you know,
mm-hmm.
You know something about yourself that which is enough to get mm-hmm. you through.
Mm-hmm. And that knowingness helps you be undaunted. I'm going to go back to the image of David and Goliath.
Mm.
So David, as David, and imagine how David went into that scenario, knowing he had merely a little slingshot, nothing really of vast weight or protection against a massive individual. And he went in, first of all, knowing it could be his path to death, but still being willing. So as David, are you willing to, and I'm going back to the question, to work with focused attention to realize this change?
Yes.
Change being your vision.
Yes.
I think that's a good place to stop.
Yeah.
Leadership is not for the faint of heart. Seeing what could be is just the starting point of the leader's journey. Doing the work to realize it is why it's such a journey. If you haven't yet experienced finding your own true path, it might have come as a shock to hear Jonathan say, "I'll work until I'm dead on this." But he also spoke about how liberating that is and described it as rebirth and regeneration. That's quite a contrast from where he began in these Illumify conversations, resigned to his time having passed. He's now on the path that he sees will take him through the rest of his life. The next question reveals some of what is required to stay there. The leader's journey continues. Stay tuned. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter. Step up. Speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.